We're taking a break from Job today simply because of the current events. This is going to be something a little bit different today. Tell me if this sounds familiar. I'm going to quote something. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconcile. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angels host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Does that sound familiar? It does? Oh, okay. How about this? Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pending till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope and weary world rejoicing. From yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Does that sound familiar? These are Christmas songs that we hear every year, but we do not hear it. What I mean by that is, yes, we can sing the lyrics, but do we really know what is being said in that? Hark, the herald says, God and sinners are what? All because of our Savior. Now, there are many others. But what happens is every year we observe today, not today, tomorrow, the 25th of December as Christmas, right? The birth of our Lord. We use that day to acknowledge it, to recognize it. Now, I am not going to jump into a discussion with anybody about all of these things about, well, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th. We know that. We talked about it a couple years ago. We understand that Jesus was not born during the winter. We understand that some people say that there's other pagan groups that are involved with Christmas. That's fine. You can do that. We can have the discussion all day. It's going to lead to nothing. Except who's going to win the argument? We observe the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. At least for my sake, we observe the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ every day. Not just what... Hold on. We're not done. We're just starting, y'all. Just save them claps. You know what I'm saying? Save them because we got a whole lot more for you. Okay, I love you for this, but we're saying this. Here's the thing. We celebrate the birth and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ every single day. Not just one day. We have so many people, so many Christians that want to argue back and forth about this holiday season. All around the world, we see people shopping, spending all kind of money, going to the sales. Listening to Christmas music. Christmas music plays a day after Halloween now. You go into a Michael's, you smell the potpourri. Everything is prepared for this time called Christmas. And what does it lead? It leads people to happy hopes, smiles. Oh, Merry Christmas to you. Do you ever notice that the same Salvation Army team, they don't never there any other time except during Christmas time when they're ringing little bells before you go into a store? Where are you guys at normally? But it also brings depression. People are depressed. I'm sad. I'm hurting. This is the worst time of year for me. Why? Why? If we know the reason why we are celebrating the birth of our Savior, I sincerely hope that it's not being overshadowed by all of this extra stuff that's going on. A lot of stuff is a show. It's a masquerade. It's a masquerade. Now, I'm not here to debate with you about whether or not you should celebrate Christmas on the 25th. Do what you do. There's nothing wrong with it. You're celebrating the birth of our Savior. You're celebrating, you're acknowledging the birth of our Savior. But you understand that the pagan world, the secular world, the non-Christ world are singing these hymns, these songs, elevating Christ. They don't even realize it. And I'm not talking about Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Question is, when it comes down to us acknowledging the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth, do we as believers know who Jesus is? This is something that we need to self-examine. I believe that the Lord blessed me with this morning because He had me self-examine. I've been self-examining this thing that I'm going to ask you for the last month. There are a lot of people that celebrate Christmas. Would you agree? There's a lot of people that are not in church today because they're too busy decorating their Christmas trees. Last year, we had churches literally cancel church on Sunday because it landed on Christmas. So it's not about Jesus. It's about other things. But do we know about Jesus? Do we know about our Lord? How many of you know that there's a... Who recognizes that there's a thing called sports? Okay, for those of you that don't, we'll talk. There's a thing called sports teams. Anybody know who the Dodgers are? Everybody knows who the Dodgers are? Okay, so I can use this as an example. The Dodgers. Okay? You have the players, right? Time out. If you want me to finish early, don't give me ammunition. They better win the Super Bowl, the NBA playoffs. They better win the World Cup, 5 Olympic gold medals for as much as they're paying that guy. We're done. We're timeout's over. You said it. I had to do it. Okay? Anyway, my point is, we know the Dodgers. We have the players. Yes? Who's above the player? The coaches, right? We have the manager. So we have the players, we have the coaches, we have the manager. Who's above them? Before the owners, we have the general manager. General manager, then we have the owner. Do you all see the picture? Okay, let me ask you a question. Are they a part of the Dodgers organization? Okay, so their paychecks come from the Dodgers organization. They are the Dodgers organization, yes? Okay, so the owner owns the team. The general manager works for the Dodgers. They're part of the Dodger organization. You have the manager, you have the coaches, and you have the players. All of them are part of the Dodger organization. Would you agree? Okay. So, here's my question to you. Or here's my thought to you. We also have a thing called fans. Okay? Some fans are crazy. I like to use a football analogy because the football people like to fight at games. And now Dodger fans like to fight at games too. If you're wearing the wrong team, they want to fight you. If they've had too much to drink, they want to fight you. Do you see the picture? We have the Dodger organization, and then we have the fans. Now, the fans love the Dodgers. They love the team. They like the team. They'll fight for the team. But are they a part of the Dodgers organization? They are not. Here's my question to you, my brothers and sisters. Are we fans of Christ? Or are we a part of the fold of Christ? A fan is not a part of the organization. They're just fans. But anybody that's involved with the organization, whether you're a ball boy, you are hired and you are a part of the organization. You never hear a fan. You have fans, some crazy fans that think, oh, I got to watch the team, I got to support them, because if I don't support them, they're not going to win. They're playing, and their paychecks have nothing to do with you. So, my question is, when I say fan, I'm simply talking about, are you a person that's a fan of Jesus? I'm a fan. Or are you in Him? Does that make sense? Honestly, does not make sense to this analogy that I've given? You are neither a part of the organization or you are not. Neither you are a part of Christ and His body or you are just a fan. Fans are not saved. Do you understand that? You must be in Christ. You must put on Christ in order to be in Christ and of Christ. So the moment you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you're no longer just being a fan, but now you are being a part of the fold, a part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? There is a difference. Fans like things. They like it. We like it. Yeah, we like church. Yeah, we like it. Hallelujah. Yeah, all right, praise the Lord. Okay. But as soon as the pastor says something to them that hurts their feelings, they're gone. What had happened with Jesus? As soon as Jesus opened his mouth, people followed him no more, saying his teaching was too hard. They were fans of the spectacle. They had nothing to do with him. They wanted nothing to do with him. That's why Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? And have I not in your name cast out devils and in your name did many wonderful works? And I will say, I never knew you. I never had a relationship. You were never in me. You did all those great things as a fan, not as a part of my body. Do you understand? Do we know? And what kid is crying? Layla, yeah. Do we know who Jesus is? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, please. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture today. John chapter 1. We've gone through this before, not that long ago, when we went through the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. What do we know about this text right here? We know that in the beginning was the Word. We know later on we know the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word. So what do we know about Jesus? That he always is God. That he was a part of all creation. Do you hear me? In the beginning was the Word. He was there from the beginning. He was not a created being. Colossians chapter 1. Because I'm going to move quickly, I'm going to ask that if you can't get there quickly with me, that's fine. We have it up on the board. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He, who is he? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Understand this, all creation, every bit of creation came through him. Orchestrated, organized, and kept in place. You understand that once our Lord takes his eyes off of this creation, the creation will be destroyed. Everything that Jesus has done is keeping everything together, holding it together. Do you understand? Are y'all with me? Just going to keep checking. You turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, What does it say in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? It says, and he, who is he? Jesus is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And behold, all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus also is fully God. He is the representation. He is 100% God. When you see Jesus, you see Yahweh. You see God. Do we know who our Savior is? What do we know first? We know first that he was indeed the creator of all things. Nothing was made apart from him. We also know that when he was on this earth, he dwelt among us. We know that he was the representation. He was the visible image of the invisible God. For those of you that don't understand Colossians, what we went over, we're going over Colossians in Bible study, by the way. So please join us so we can talk about this further. Let's go back to John. I know Wanda requested that we preach to John again. I'm joking. Job is not an easy book, but it is so necessary. Verse 14, what does it say? In John 1, 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What does it mean to dwell among us? It means to pitch a tent. How many of you have actually pitched a tent and stayed there for 100 years? No, none of you. He dwelt among us. He pitched a tent. And we saw his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, being creator of all things, became flesh and dwelt among his people who did not recognize him. Do you remember we talked about that? Do we? What does Jesus say about himself? In John 14, verse 7, it says this. It says, if you had known me, Jesus is talking to his disciples, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus claims, he says he is the great I am. Before Abraham was, I am. The same I am, Yahweh, that Moses asked for the name. That's what Jesus says. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So understand that when you read the Gospels, you understand as you're reading the Gospels, you are experiencing God Almighty in the flesh. That's the Savior in which we have. Are y'all with me? Do we know who Jesus is? There's some people that believe that Jesus was a God amongst many. There's some people that believe that Jesus was not God until he was baptized. He was just a regular person. But what does the Bible say? Colossians chapter 2, case in point, y'all, we haven't really gotten here yet. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Am I leaking? How come y'all didn't tell me? This is the thing about the brotherly love that I'm talking about. Y'all don't love me. I'm sitting here leaking over here and you guys don't. Thank you, Willie. Y'all the type if I walked, excuse me, time out. Y'all the type that will walk, if I walk in with a boogie on my nose, y'all won't even say nothing. Hey, how you doing? Oh, did you see that thing? He got a big old thing. Like, I'm laughing. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Or if someone, I don't put on lipstick. Anybody put lipstick, good lipstick on their teeth? I think it's embarrassing to tell a woman, by the way, you kind of got some lipstick on your teeth, right? I feel bad for them. Y'all don't love me. Thank you, Willie. I know I can depend on you. America, right there. Jesus is fully God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 reads, "For in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority." So the fullness of deity is in Christ. The Godhead is Christ. So what do we know about our Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, that he is fully God, fully man. We know that he was the creator of all things. He always was. You could find Christ in the Old Testament. All you have to do is read it. You will see Christ in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament. What else is our Lord? He's our promised Messiah. He is our promised hope. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had sinned. Now, we see Jesus way before this, obviously. We see him walking through the garden. We see him making the creation. But what's funny here is we see something that is the promised hope. Adam and Eve has sinned. What does the Bible say in Genesis 3, verse 15? He is talking to the woman, Eve. "And I will," verse 15, "and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This is a sermon all by itself, you understand. War between the woman and the serpent. But more importantly, between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. Here's a funny question to ask. Women, do women have seed? No, they don't. Whoever said yes, or you're very confused. Women do not have seed. Men have seed. Women do not have seed. Well, Luan, why are you sharing this? How can a woman have seed? I'm glad you asked. To me, and you can, we can debate this all day long if you want to. This text is talking about Mary and the virgin birth. A woman cannot have a seed, but Mary, who never was with a man, never had seed, became pregnant through the work of the Holy Spirit. So I believe this text is 100% talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I also believe he's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because we talk about also the crucifixion in this text. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. His heel, which, have any of you ever had a bruised heel before? Okay, when you're kicking somebody, you get a bruised heel. You made me bruise my heel because I kicked you too hard, right? A bruised heel is nothing. His crucifixion is the bruising of the heel. The crushing of the head, the bruising of the head is the ending and destruction of sin. So, yeah, Mary doesn't have a seed, but she was pregnant without a man. So when he's talking about here, I believe he is 100% talking about the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have other book chapters and verse to come at me with, by all means, let's do that. But let's do that at a different time. I do believe in my heart that that text is talking about the promised Messiah. And I believe that Adam and Eve, when they gave birth to their children, they believed that that was the seed, that was the hope. Now, granted, we have some centuries and centuries later before this happens. But he was the promised Messiah. The book of Isaiah. Why am I going through all this text? Because I think it's necessary. The book of Isaiah in chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Jesse being David's father. And a branch from his root will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Isaiah is a prophecy. This is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus. Through the nation of Israel, our Messiah will come. This is the promised Messiah that is coming. If you remember when Abraham and Isaac, you understand the story about the sacrifice, yes? Anybody doesn't? What does he say to his son? His son says, Father, where is the sacrifice? What are we going to burn? What does Abraham say? Abraham says, the Lord will provide the lamb. Do you believe me? Don't just believe me. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. We're going to go book, chapter, and verse. Don't just believe what I say. Use the word of God to support it. Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. If we read further down, there is not a lamb that is given, but a ram, R-A-M, that is caught and they sacrifice the ram. So guess what? From Genesis 22 all the way to John, you understand that we are still waiting for the lamb. Do you hear me? Are you sure? So John again. Back to my favorite book, John. Chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold the Lamb of God, who will take away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God is Jesus, the promised Messiah. He was not, the Jews wanted him to be this great war hero that was going to militarily take over everything. But Jesus was the suffering servant, the one who died on the cross for our sins. We also need to know about Jesus that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, healed us from destruction. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. When Jesus died on the cross, he did a beautiful thing. And we've talked about this in Bible study. So some of you are in Bible study. This is not anything brand new. But we talked about this before. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, there's a beautiful text that I love. And it's, I think it's a text we all need to remember as we move forward in life. Second Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. No, not, I'm sorry, not 8, 18. 18. Because Jesus died on the cross, this is what the text says. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The beautiful thing about this is reconciliation and substitution. When Jesus died on the cross, he took on all of your sin. If you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord right now, then guess what? All of your sin he died for, meaning that when God the Father looks at you, he looks at you as if you lived Jesus' life, which was sinless. The doctrine of substitution. In this text here, there's a plea from the writer, please be reconciled to God. Fix things. There is nothing but destruction and woe to those who do not. So he's died on the cross for our sins. He is recognized. What does it say in Colossians? We were once alienated. We were at war with God. Now we're not. Because we accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. When we accept him as Savior and Lord, then guess what? Now we are reconciled to him, and now we have the responsibility of preaching the understanding, the doctrine, the gospel of reconciliation. That's why we pray for our family members. That's why we try to share the gospel with people. It is a gospel of reconciliation. If you are not in Christ, you are at war with him. This is the Jesus that we're talking about here. We're not going to go over it right now, but in John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus then says, we are friends. So now the God who created all things, put all things together, holds all things together, from the very beginning of time, now dies on the cross for your sins, and now you accept him, and now you are friends. This is Christ. Finally, Galatians chapter 3. verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. Neither male nor female. For you are all in one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Why is this important? Number one, this is important because we have, once we are baptized, submerged in water into Christ. That doesn't mean that when you get baptized, you're baptized into Christ. When you are spiritually baptized into Christ, now you put on the clothing of Christ. And there is no one that cannot receive this gift of salvation. No matter what your race is, no matter what your social status is, no matter what your sex is, male or female, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ and through Christ, now we are the descendants of Abraham. You understand that you do not have to be a bloodline descendant of Abraham. You are spiritually bloodline descendant of Abraham. Are you with me? How many of you are lost? Okay. We celebrate this time to acknowledge our Lord and His birth. Some people want to come every Christmas time of this year, come to church and hear the same story every single year. Mary, the wise men, the magi, baby Jesus. Every Sunday before Christmas, we hear this message all around churches. And that's great for a fan. That's good for a fan. A fan enjoys hearing these stories. But I think we need to go a little bit deeper. We need to know who our Savior is and why is it important that He died on the cross for us. We need to understand who our Savior is and why we say hallelujah and amen. If we don't know, then we're simply just fans. To have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is far better than just knowing about Him. To have the Word written and hidden in your heart so that you may not sin against God is way better than you wearing a "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelet. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Only a couple of you. It was probably 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, there was a big campaign, WWJD. Does anything sound familiar to you? Okay, just want to make sure. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is better than "Honk If You Love Jesus" bumper sticker on your car. Or a fish symbol on your car. Pray for me. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is better even than your addiction to buying Bibles. Your addiction to reading the Puritans. Your addiction to loving your Bible leaders, if you will. Some people love these theologians better than they love Christ. It's time for us to know what we believe. And it's time for us to know why we believe. So when this said, Jesus, who is the creator of all things, became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the visible image of the invisible God. All creation was made through him. Nothing was made from him apart from him. While he was on earth, he taught us his commandments. He was the promised Messiah. He was the promised hope. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, defeating sin forever. All authority on heaven and earth was given to him. He is the head of the body, which is the church, in which we are a part of. Through him, we can now be reconciled to God, no longer being at war with him, no longer having to fight God. We are at peace with God. That's why we call it the gospel. And because of this, we are able to put on Christ, to be baptized in Christ, to have an intimate relationship with Christ, to be the sheep of his fold that nobody can ever rip us away from. This relationship will last forever. When we look at our lives and we realize all the things that we've been through, the worries, the concerns, the wars that we have been through, we understand that Jesus understands our perspective because he lived it. He experienced every temptation. He experienced every bit of humiliation. But because he died on the cross, we have a right, we have the ability to accept him as Savior and Lord and receive the gift of salvation. And now we can spend eternity with him. All of this happened because our Savior was born. That's so important. It doesn't matter about the day. We can argue all day long about, was Jesus really born? We can have all this discussion. We know that our Savior was born. And let us not lose sight in that. If we choose to use today, this week, tomorrow, we're going to celebrate. You know how many unbelievers celebrate Christmas? Fans. They don't know who Jesus is. You mention the Bible to them, I don't want to read the Bible. Hallelujah. Yeah, all right, whatever. Right? The difference between us is that we understand that when Jesus was born, that's when the angels said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Peace on earth? We just talked about this. Peace on earth. Peace between God and man. Peace between God and man. Jesus will be the vehicle that will do that. And it all happened because he is born. Let us not forget this. As you go and do your Christmas dinner, your Christmas fallout. Do people Christmas carol anymore? Okay. I don't know. Christmas carol. Fa la 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 la. Okay. Keep these things in mind. For those of you that have a hard time during this time of year, keep in mind who you're focusing on. Family time can happen anytime. Right? I'm not going to say no names in here, but there's some people that feel like you have to celebrate on the day of, otherwise it's ruined. If we don't celebrate Christmas on the 25th, oh my gosh, Christmas is ruined. It's not. It's not. Let's just remember the reason for all of this and understand this. I will challenge everybody, and I will challenge my arch nemesis. My arch nemesis, not Ben. Where's my arch nemesis? There you are, Ramona. How about we do some Christmas music in July? With doctrine, right? I'm just challenging you. I'm not throwing out there. But let's keep that in mind. Our Savior is born. And because our Savior is born, we have all of these amazing benefits. Do you hear me? God bless all of you.